As promised, The Enigma Cut by The Enigmas Unchained, Geek Syndrome, and The King of Geeks. Let's get to it now. What it do, my peoples? This is T Nigma with Enigmas Unchained, and we are back. First off, we have already surpassed 100 episodes. Our last episode with Saitama has no upper limit, which is true because Goku is the villain. Yeah, he's a villain. So because of that episode, we have now passed over into our 100, and I have your friend's best friend with me. Ice, how you doing, brother?
Hey, man. Hey, look, it's good to be back, man.
God dang right. Congratulations, brother. We hit 100. We hit 100 episodes, man.
Look, man, congratulations to you, too, man.
Awesome, man. So, you know, the Enigmas got to congratulate each other. We got to keep each other encouraged, you know. So, but look, like, we're coming up on our 4 year on April the 8th, I believe, is our 4 year. We're close to being 365 days in the game, already 100 episodes, and also 2,000 passed. So we're looking good. Yes. This is great. And this episode is going to be fun because we're talking about the Snyderverse.
It's a celebration.
Enjoy yourself. You know, so we're doing this right now. You know, we have some guests, some wonderful guests on here with us. We got Geek Syndrome with Ed and Matt. How are you guys doing?
Can't complain.
Doing good, awesome. Doing good, my friend.
That's what I'm talking about. Y'all ready to talk about this Snyder Cut?
Of course, man.
Excellent.
And he's got a fire burning in his heart, so I'm going to see how this goes.
All right, cool. That's what we'll talk about. And then we also got the incomparable, the one and only, Steals. Steals forever. How you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. Good. Good. Congratulations on your 100 episodes.
I appreciate that. Appreciate that, brothers. All right, so we're going to circle back. I need Geek Syndrome to go ahead and drop your information, so that way people can know how to find you, and then Steals directly after you jump in and do your thing too, bro.
Okay. Right. So, you going first?
No, go ahead.
I lead all the time. Why are you going first?
Sorry, change it up sometimes, man.
Go first.
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
All right. So, I'm Ricky Bobby. I'm first. You last. Okay.
So, yeah, what's going first, on you're last.
Oh, Jesus. So what is going on, everyone? This is Matt and...
This is Ed.
We are Geek Syndrome. We have a podcast where we are absolutely ridiculous at least once every Friday. We are on every major podcast, which is Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, is on Tinder. So if you want to try to link up with him...
don't swipe left, man.
Swipe up. Right.
Right. Swipe right.
That that almost flew over my head from us. Oh, okay. I was like, wait, hold on.
Go ahead. Help my boy out, man. Turn him so we on every major podcast. So listen to us, like I say, just by every Friday. Ed also does his artwork, so be sure to tune in on that. Ed, plug all our social media stuff, so.
Okay, yeah. We have our Instagram, which is at Geek Syndrome Inc. spelled INC.
Corporation. I think.
Is it called? Is it Inc. Corp?
Corporation. We a business.
INC.
Hold on, it's INC because it's in court for the email, man. God, you messed me up. Anyway, just look up Geek Syndrome. You'll find it on Instagram.
Don't bing it. Google. Please just Google.
Yeah, no Bing. No Bing is allowed.
No Bing's allowed. No only Bing's Google. Allowed.
Yeah.
If you Bing, I'm going to immediately block you.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
We're also on Facebook at Geek Syndrome. I have my personal Instagram, which is at Mr. Ed Boy with 2 D's. Matt doesn't like telling out his Instagram because he doesn't like people following him. We finally passed 500 listens, though.
Oh, we did. Same word. Oh, yeah. You got us. That's
we're getting there.
And we're moving on up.
That's right, man. Get on up there. Yes, sir.
And then we immediately announced our retirement.
Hang the jersey up.
I'm Barry Sanders, yo. I gave the game all I could give it. Megatron, yo. I'm trying to get out of Detroit. All right, that's it for us. Unless Ed got something else he wants to say.
No, that's it.
All right. Finally, man, it took you a year, man. Good God.
You know, our intros take like an hour.
Yeah, okay, all right.
You have to cut a lot out of those intros, man.
I'll leave it in. Steals, go ahead, brother.
Okay, what's going on, everybody? It's your boy Steals Forever, aka the King of Geeks. So you can catch me on YouTube.com/Steals Forever, and you can catch me on Facebook Gaming.
Yeah, that's right, man. Like these guys are excellent. They offer valuable, funny, but valuable commentary to the geek culture and what's going on right now. And this just leads us into this very interesting take on Zack Snyder's vision for the DCEU. So we begin with The Man of Steel, released in 2013. Henry Cavill, of course, was the lead man. He's our Superman. Hashtag my Superman. So just letting y'all know, I'm biased.
I actually really like Henry Cavill as Superman.
Yeah, facts. Yeah, like I mean, So I'm going to start with this question right here, Dan. So when being a part, being like probably 5 years deep into Marvel, like MCU, going into Man of Steel, do you remember how you received Man of Steel?
I did. I actually kind of felt like it was more like the Dark Knight, like they were trying to be more Dark Knight like, because one thing, they use the Man of Steel title.
Mm hmm.
Like the Dark Knight. So I was feeling like it was going more like that. I did not expect a world building or like an expansion into it. I thought it was just going to be like a trilogy of just Superman movies.
Gotcha.
Because that's what DC's always been for. Like, yeah, they have always done that.
Yeah.
So that was what my expectations was originally.
Cool.
But that, as far as world building, I wasn't 100%. I think, if I'm not mistaken, they tried to do that with Green Lantern before.
Yeah, Green Lantern was trash.
Yes, it was.
God, it was trash. Like that suit to this day, if I see it, you know, I'm bothered, because I was like, you telling me you couldn't come up with no tactical gear for a doggone lantern? This is not hard. You I'm not gonna get into that right now. This is not about
that's another movie that,
I mean, Ryan Reynolds said, like, he actually watched, I don't know if you guys watched him on Twitter, but I was cracking up. He said, you know, for the release of the Snyder Cut, he watched Green Lantern for the first time with a bottle of vodka right beside him. He said by the time he got through half the movie, the whole bottle was gone. He just showed, he's like, the bottle's gone, guys. I was like, God.
Yeah, wow. That's another movie that triggers me. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, see, here's the problem. When you have Deadpool playing Green Lantern,
yes,
it's not going to come out right.
There you go. And so how many of us knew that he was going to be Deadpool after like watching him in Blade Trinity?
I mean,
that was before Wolverine Origins, and I was like, that dude would be a perfect Deadpool. And then we got Wolverine Origins, and Wolverine Origins was trash, but he would still be a great Deadpool. He'd still be a great Deadpool.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like that was like the best part about the movie, was I'm like, that dude actually fits the bill for Deadpool. So it's like, how
did they jack that up too?
Yeah, they did. Oh, yeah. They did. For that movie. Yeah. They gave that dude I'm not even getting to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, they gave that dude every power. I was like, this is not dead. What is going on right now? So yeah, like, but we're not going to get into that, because that's going to spin us out of control, and that train will go into the ocean.
We don't want to unrail it again.
Yeah. try not to derail this particular one. So now, anybody else has any thoughts on like their first impression after seeing, like, from 2008, 2013, we had already had one Avengers movie. And then finally, DC releases Man of Steel. What was your impression?
Concern.
Okay.
Yes, talk. Because, you know, you saw how, like, we all seen how successful the MCU became.
Yeah.
You know, so after a while, you know how it is. You get, like, the internet was buzzing, Twitter, everywhere was buzzing. Like, okay, so if Marvel, we can do this, why can't DC?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, DC been pretty much like what everyone's saying. Like, they'd already been doing like their own separate characters. They hadn't done like everybody like MCU. That was their thing.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's not broken, then why fix it?
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
But they tried, you know, and there were still bumps and bruises, and you know, they just cracked the road, you know. And then when the Justice League came out, it just tore everything up.
Yeah, so, facts. Yeah.
So then, after that, they just gave up.
Yeah, that's true. I can't knock that. Anybody else?
I think they missed the opportunity with it. Like, if you're going to bring in, if you're going to do Man of Steel and you're going to bring in the Kryptonians that fast, like Zod in that fast with two more Kryptonians,
mm-hmm.
to me, that's when, you know, like, okay, I'm going to say this. Like, I don't think everything needs an origin.
Okay.
So in my mind, that was the perfect place for the Justice League to show up, because Superman shouldn't be able to beat three Kryptonians.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's fair.
You know, that'd have been a good place to shoot Wonder Woman or the Flash in, just to kind of like, hey, you need help.
Mm.
Like, you know what I'm saying? And that would have kind of solved the problem of, you know, because with Marvel, they got kind of a lucky deal because they threw Iron Man out there and they caught, and then just kind of built on it.
Yep.
And then DC was playing catch up. Like, mm-hmm. how can we catch up? That would have been the perfect way in my mind to catch up. Just, you know, I wouldn't
start off a jump.
I wouldn't even probably have promoted that it was in the movie.
Mm. I feel you.
You know, bam, they're in it.
Yeah.
And then when you go to Batman versus Superman, you know, you already got some world building going on.
That's fair. That's fair take. Matt, you last, bro.
Last, okay. And see, I like the movie, and I'm gonna echo kind of what Bobby said. As I'm watching it, the only thing I'm thinking the whole time is, you know, maybe I don't put Zod right here. Maybe I don't put the Kryptonians right here. I think Superman has enough allure, enough to deal with first without us going to like his. Well, you can say Zod is his greatest enemy. I think when you look at Darkseid, like when you look at us.
I
wouldn't call Zod like his greatest enemy, but Zod is a big enough deal to where I don't think he should have been in the Man of Steel movie.
Gotcha.
Maybe a second one, maybe a third one. But overall, I like the movie. I like what they're doing. And I think it was a good tone shift from like that whole Marvel thing that we had going on at the time. Yep. You know, all Marvel movies are lighthearted, comedic, you know, and those.
It's action. Like somebody affectionately called them action comedies. And I was like, that is the absolute best explanation for the MCU as a whole. Like, it's action comedies. Yeah.
And so the tone shift, I enjoyed. That's the, you know, as far as the movie. Yeah, I think it was. It's not the best DC movie I ever watched, but it was a good thing to sit down and just enjoy with like my wife when we were watching it. So it was okay. You know, if I had throw a number at it, you know, probably 7 or 8.
Okay. So for me, like when I dealt with Man of Steel, two things I need to have met. They met, and it was one: he can't be the go get him tiger Superman. He can't be Christopher Reeves, because I after watching the atrocity that is Superman Returns, I didn't want that again. I was like, no, don't give me, because it's not Brandon Ross' fault. He did a good job. It's not his fault. It was the script, the way they wrote it. It was literally an action comedy. It was written in that same style that the MCU was already doing. And I was like, this is not gonna work. Because, and it was like, well, Superman's goofy and stuff. I'm like, yeah, he was, but this is the 2000s, pimping. We can't be for folks skeptics now. I said, we need to deal with a Superman that's like been introduced to a planet with a bunch of skeptics is like questioning his every move. And I thought that, like, you know, his father's paranoia was real, because and people were upset about, you know, Jonathan Kent's paranoia. I was like, this is the most logical explanation. If you had a kid in your house, and most people, I'd be exposed to them. Like, you know, if you did that, what the world you think they're gonna do to you? We saw in the Zack Snyder joint, they actually had a xeno scan for people that were even associated with aliens. They had to stay there for a long time, you know. So imagine like what happened to Jonathan and Martha Kent if they actually found anything out. You know what I'm saying? Like what would happen to Superman? You know, you don't think that what happened in Justice League, I mean, at Flashpoint, you remember y'all watched the animated series?
Yeah.
Flashpoint. You don't think that wouldn't have happened to Superman in this particular world? You don't think they would have strapped that sucker up in a room and weakened him and been experimenting on him and trying to figure out what's going on with his body and not told nobody? Because that's what was happening. And I thought about that. I was like, I think Jonathan Kent's paranoia actually made sense, because in this particular world we in, Superman wouldn't be allowed. He wouldn't be allowed if they just found him. It's virtually impossible, you know. I thought it was an instant take. I agree with you guys with the Zod situation, but I do think that Russell Crowe, as a magnificent actor as he is, you know, he's crazy. Dude is a fantastic actor. he made you care about the relationship between the House of Eld and Zod. He really made you care about that. By the time he had like 5 minutes with dude on screen, and by the end, I felt like they had known each other for years. You know what I'm saying? And then homeboy, he killed that dude. You know, Zod killed that dude, and he was resolved to kill his own son, kill that dude's son too. I was like, God dang, Zod. You know, I was like that, but that was Zod. And I was like, so then the protector of the Kryptonians. You know, so yeah, he's a soldier. He's a soldier. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, they didn't dishonor any character in that movie. Now let's talk about a controversial point.
Man, still,
how'd you guys feel about him killing Zod when you first saw it?
It would have been acceptable if it would have been another tone shift, right? You know, it would have been acceptable if they would have gave him like that Wonder Woman mentality. I'm here to save everybody, but I'm going to kill you if need be. But they kind of didn't go that route, right? They didn't go that shift. They went back to, hey, I'm apple pie Superman, as far as like how we like deal with it. So if they had kept him on like that darker path, I'd have been all right with it. But as the way they did it and the way it played out, you know, I don't like that they made him kill Zod.
Okay, cool.
See, the thing with me, whenever it happened, I think the biggest thing was he knew that no matter what he did, that Zod was going to just keep doing what he was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I could justify him killing him, because like it was like no matter what, like even if, because like, you know, the biggest argument everybody had was like he could fly him away from there, but that doesn't mean he's going to stop not trying to kill people.
Yes,
that was his whole point. He was proving to him that if you care about these people, what you're going to do. I mean, it's literally like spelled out in front of most people. A lot of people just ignored it.
Yeah.
Maybe it could have been handled a little bit better, like Matt was saying, but I feel like it was justified. Like it wasn't just like senseless killing just to kill.
Yeah.
Just to say, oh yeah, hey, your Superman kills. No, it was like he had no other choice. Zod was going to keep constantly going after people and killing them.
Okay.
That was his program. That was his whole goal. He wanted to die. He had no Krypton to protect.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else?
It was, to me, it was like it to me, it felt a little bit like it came out of nowhere, because up to that point, like, you know, like pretty much like what my guy's been saying before me, he was Clint Noss and everything was cool. You know what I'm saying? He knew something had to be done.
Mm.
He didn't know what I'm saying, but then it felt like it was a desperation kill.
Okay.
Like, yeah. Oh, okay, well, you know, yeah, you know, we didn't got him up to this point, so now what we gonna do? Yeah, we just kill him.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And it's like there were no repercussions after that.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, well, he got rid of the threat. Cool, whatever. So, but yeah, that's how I looked at it.
Okay. Still,
they could put him in. I hate killing characters off. Mm-hmm. I feel like if you're gonna kill him, then like leave him dead. You know what I'm saying? Like if it's an in game situation where I feel like that's it. You're done with the, like, you're not going to make anything else, then it's cool. But, like, in this situation with Zod, I would have rather for Superman to put them all in the Phantom Zone.
Okay.
That's because right. If they brought him behind the Phantom Zone, then, you know, because I didn't like the idea of Zod being Doomsday.
Okay.
That's probably the one thing about
the movie. Okay.
But that's right. I wouldn't jump that far, but, you know.
No. We're going in next. You good. Yeah, you good.
Right. So, I would have rather seen Zod if they was going to run Luther and Deathstroke. I've already seen Zod in Legion of Doom.
Okay.
You know, if they did a Doom or in Justice League, I think he could have had a bigger role as that character. Because, I mean, the character of Zod in that movie is great.
Yes.
I like the...
Absolutely.
Cannon? Like the girl, the woman. Yeah, I like the woman, too. I forget
her name. Man. Oh, man. Oh, bro. She was a savage. She seemed like she wasn't gonna hurt you. You know, her voice is very tender. You know what I'm saying? She's like, I come here to do da 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 da, and then she's boom. She's like, whoa. So how she snatched up Lois by her neck. I was like, oh my goodness. You know, she snatched her up. I was like, oh, what's happening?
And you know, we talk about this a lot. They're the perfect counters. At that point, they would have been the perfect counters to world build with Superman and Wonder Woman. Because she could square it off against Wonder Woman.
That is a fair point. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Because I feel like when you write with Superman, you have to be very careful with Superman. Because if you use a version of Superman that's too strong, then what's the point? The rest of the feelings go, they don't have any purpose.
Yep.
Because it's like, why do you need help? You know, I can just stay home, chill out. You know, you're going to beat everybody. You know what I'm saying? So maybe for boring story, right? You know?
Yeah.
But if you make Superman just strong enough to where he needs help, then it justifies all the rest of the characters.
Gotcha.
I still don't really see, like, Wonder Woman hasn't, like, it's like she's dope in DC the way they're using her, but she's not strong enough. I think she should be stronger.
Okay.
Like, definitely. Abby is stronger.
Okay.
In the book, she's her and Superman are pretty equal, right? If I'm mistaken,
they're pretty close. You know, so now, the problem is that the one weakness that Wonder Woman has, which is very interesting, is actually endurance. Now, that doesn't mean that she can't like keep moving, but the only thing that can kill her is her literally run out of strength. Mm. So Superman don't got an issue because as long as he on the yellow sun, that sucker's like the Energizer Bunny. He's like, yeah, you whip his behind down, and he like.
These are his vitamin D.
You know what I'm saying? Those are vitamin D.
Hold on. I got a T pose real quick. Hold on. Yeah, pretty much.
You know, he's flapping the air and just. Which to me is one of the dopest parts about Snyder Cut when we hit him with him with jump up. We'll get it
asking it.
Before, that's right. Before we move on, I want to talk about this little point that he made. You know, when he killed Zod, he didn't have like those moral like conundrums, like, you know, most people have once they kill somebody. Now that I think about it, you know, like, you remember being like the Mega Man X Games, you know, he's staring off in the wilderness, like, man, I'm always killing like my people, like, I'm always killing like my brothers. Mm-hmm. That was like a big part of like, the game once you like, you know, beat like, you know, half of them. But Superman didn't really do that. And I think, you know, you know, how they build him up and how he is in a lot of like other iterations or comic books and movies. I feel like if he killed somebody, he would have really had like a moment just like, man, you know, what am I doing? Like, did I really just do that?
So you don't count the fact like, so, cause I mean, this is at least the way that I interpret the situation, because I had to think about, you know, the standard bear, which is the Christopher Reeves movies, you know what I'm saying? Which honestly is still the standard bear. I'm not going to take that away from Reeves, mm-hmm. because that he made you believe that a man could fly. I would never take that away from him, but he ain't my Superman. That's no shade. I'm just saying he ain't my Superman. But I want you to process this. Reeves Superman has 7 years to train.
Mm-hmm.
Man of Steel Superman had 5 hours.
He just learned how to fly. Before he even fought,
right? Yeah, so I want you to process this for a moment, okay? He's a country boy, okay? We all country boys here. We've stayed in the country. So we've all kind of come from a background where, you know, it's family, take care of family, you know what I'm saying? Keep your head down. Don't really do nothing nothing to bring a whole lot of attention to you. And that's the way we were raised. You know what I'm saying? We were raised to treat people with kindness, you know, as much as we could, you know, things like that. So imagine this freaking super powered monster. Really what Superman is. I mean, just there's no other way to really cut it. If you want to put it in layman's terms, he's a freaking monster with all these powers. Now, this dude has the ability to save anybody he wants. His daddy and his mom is telling him, you need to suppress that, though. His daddy died. And people had issues with the tornado scene in And Man of Steel, I was like, no, this made sense for Jonathan Kent. He loved his son so much. He knew that people weren't ready yet. And he was willing to die to make sure that dude would stay safe. He was like, I'm fine. You're fine. I did what I was supposed to do. No, like he just held his hand out, which is a common theme in Zack Snyder movies. Is I'll let y'all mess with that in y'all brains for a moment. The right hand being held out, tell people to stop. But there's an extra connotation for that. Yeah, like there actually is a connotation to that. So you got this situation where Jonathan, like that, you have to think about this. This is the Man of Steel, but he also can deal with trauma. You know, so he doesn't know that he's invulnerable. He don't know. So when a dude throw a truck at him, he moves out of the way. Because I mean, people's like, why in the world would he just like absorb the blow? He don't know how much he can do yet. Mm-hmm. He was learning that on the job. You know, as the fight continued to go on, when he realized he could take a dog on a terraformer, he was like, oh, shoot, I'm straight then. That was by the end, though. he took a whole terraformer to the face and still flew through it and blew it up. I'm like, he just figured this out. You know what I'm saying?
So, them reserves.
Yeah, like this is literally just, this is all in the process of the moment. Like where he's living, he's becoming Superman by the moment. And him getting to that Zod fight, you know what I'm saying? And Zod literally being like, I'm going to make you taste every bit of what I tasted. And he just goes off on a rampage, start wrecking people. And that's the part, like in BVS, which we're going to next in a moment, where we jump into the movie. We're only dealing with the ultimate cut people. We're not dealing with we ain't dealing with the theatrical version. Theatrical version doesn't exist. we're only dealing with the ultimate cut.
Facts.
Yeah. So just being real. So like that's when we get. I've seen. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, like that's the only one I saw. I never watched the theatrical cut. I was like, what I need that for when I get 3 hours of this? I'm just gonna watch 3 hours.
Studios constantly like. They always mess up Zack Snyder's vision.
Oh yeah, and, facts.
Like,
yeah, facts.
Ever I since, mean, like yeah. from Watchmen, they've been doing it since Watchmen.
Every single time.
Hey, yeah. You ever watched what was that one that came out after Watchmen?
Sucker Punch.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has a cut for that. Yeah.
They cut out so much out of that movie that makes sense.
They did. Yeah, they did.
The theatrical version was literally just a highlight reel.
Yes.
That's all it was.
It was, but then the other one like actually shows you more in the asylum and everything. So that's when he diametrically linked Man of Steel and BVS for that one scene. I know Steel's had issues with the scene, and I'll let him talk about that. And for BVS, when we jump into it, but like just think about like the fact that Superman was literally learning on the job the whole time. Like he had no prior experience. There is no, even between BVS and Man of Steel and BVS, it's like 5 months. It's like a 5 month gap. So he still hasn't even been Superman a whole year yet. The dude was still learning to be Superman, and it wasn't even year one. He was still working in year one when we meet him. So this is year one Superman. So I'm like just putting the connotation. We're watching Superman become Superman. You know what I'm saying? So he's Clark Kent still. He's still thinking like Clark Kent. He's still thinking that maybe if I go and do this, it may hurt somebody, or I'm gonna protect my own people. That's why he went hard for Lois when he thought that she was in trouble. You know what I'm saying? Like, but he didn't do that for everybody else because he's still thinking like Clark Kent. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's just one of those things I wanted to just interject in that before we go to BVS, because one of the issues, he's so mopey, he's still Clark Kent. Because he's still dealing with the fact that A, these people do not appreciate me. B, I don't even know what I'm supposed to be. He was his whole deal was trying to figure out what he was supposed to do with these powers. But he had not figured it out yet. Even in BVS, he was still like, I got these powers. I'm trying to use them right, but I haven't figured this out yet for this world. What am I supposed to be doing? So now with that on the topic, we're going to Batman versus Superman. One of the most, probably the most, in the comic book movies, but one of the most dividing outside of the comic book movies. It's one of the most divided thought movies that I've seen. I love the movie. You know, but I know folk that like literally would want to like put a gat on me because I said I love the movie. I was one GameStop manager. Y'all remember Dion? If he listens, love you, brother.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Dion's a huge Superman fan, and he was like, Trevor, I swear, if you come in here and tell me that Batman versus Superman is good, he said, I'm gonna fight you. We fighting today. You know, but I want you to process this for BVS. Just as to link it to Man of Steel. So, like I said, it's 5 months later. We get introduced to Bruce Wayne at the very beginning. And we get to see the toil, the trauma that now that that Batman has because of this moment. Because this is not just an isolated incident. This actually affected people. Thousands of people died, you know, because of the attack of the Kryptonians. Now, when it comes to this situation, do you think that them adding the perception of the media was a pro or a con to that movie? You know, so I'm like, you know, how they show like the news broadcasts and stuff like that. Like they did. What do you think that was a pro or a con for the movie? Talk to me.
I'm gonna go with the pro.
Okay.
The reason why I would go with the pro because in a sense, in its own way, even if you kind of look at what's going on right now, it added another antagonist.
Yes. Okay.
Was kind of like was my biggest takeaway from it because you know he wasn't just fighting. You know, they're not just fighting each other. Superman's not just dealing with world threats. You know, they're also dealing with the public's perception of them as well,
yeah.
which can also be a problem because yeah. you know, how can I put it? You can find yourself an enemy of the state. You know, yeah. the people that you're trying to protect, you can find yourself the enemy. It adds like another significant wrinkle there. So I thought it was a pro. I didn't think it hurt anything. I thought it added a little bit more than anything else.
Okay, cool. Anybody else?
I think it kind of did. It kind of touched on like a lot of the answers that people were like complaining about with Man of Steel.
Hmm.
Cause like the consequences, like, you know, one of the biggest gripes people had with Man of Steel was the ending, Superman, you know, demolishing, even though most of the city was evacuated, but like him kind of going through the buildings, tearing up everything and not really having any repercussions other than the military just following him.
Mm-hmm.
And, now you kind of are actually seeing how it affects people. It kind of puts it more into the light of like, it brings into like what people do, like, and they kind of did that with Civil War. When they brought in the Soviet force,
yeah, it was kind of
like, very, very small. Like it was like just kind of like barely a blip. It was like, oh, hey, yeah, by the way, this is happening.
Yeah,
but in Man of Steel, it kind of actually got Batman v Superman. It got more like you knew what these people were doing. Like you kind of felt it, even though you know some of that stuff was kind of fake because of the Lex Luthor kind of like getting the people or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But like. You still got some general, like, honest opinions about people. Because, like, some people, you know, it's just like how we're divided about Man of Steel. Some people loved it. Some people hated it. And it's the same way they look at Superman. Like, some people look at him as a savior. Some of them look at him as a menace. Like, not trying to quote JJ or anything. But, like...
A menace!
Bring me pictures of Superman.
But, like, I feel like it gave us another perspective. It gave us like instead of seeing everything from like Superman's point of view or Batman's point of view, you got to see from like your just typical, you know, average Joe, like what they think of Superman.
Yeah.
So I think it was a positive for like adding it to the movie.
Cool. All right. Anybody else?
I think it was a positive too.
Okay.
Because think about it. Like back then, you know what I'm saying, you probably had more people that were like, ooh, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, okay, cool. You know, this dude, he protecting us. You know, he can fly. He can do this. He can do that. That's cool. Today, these generations are a lot more skeptical about that.
That's facts. You know what I'm saying? That's absolute facts.
So yeah, you might have the little kid that'll look up to you and say, oh, I want to be like him when I grow up.
Mm-hmm.
But you got that adult that's like, you know what? Screw this dude. Mm-hmm. Tore up my house. Like,
now he stole my jobs. You know what I'm saying?
Good job.
Doctor. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then, like I say, like you got JJ Jimerson. You got JJ running around. You know what I'm saying? And he pouring gas on the situation.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I mean, so process this right here though, on like for especially for Steel since you last for this particular joint, man. So if the media didn't attack Superman, would it be relevant for the 21st century? Like just add that on top of what you got to say on this for Steel's if you can jump on. You know what I'm saying? Like Yeah, like so the original idea is was the media a positive on pro or con? And then if it wasn't a part of the movie, would it be a accurate presentation of a 21st century superhero?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it belonged. If you're trying to keep it like tied to, you know, kind of like what's going on today.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
In that sense, you know, far as how they're showing and depicting them. It's very interesting how they, I guess what confused me when I watched it and, like, you know, watched all the movies, it's very confusing or kind of odd how they wrote the movie. Mm. Like, you know, how you were saying earlier how, you know, Batman's been in Gotham for quite some time, but they chose to use an older Clark before he starts to use his powers.
Okay.
That's the first time I've seen that.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, fair. Me keeping the comments, that's the first time I've seen Clark being that old before he's actually becoming Superman.
Okay.
Like, you know, and then so when you look at the way they're presenting him, like, this is, I guess, because I don't know, it's like, it's odd because it's the way they show it's like the first time they've seen villains.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like no, there was no villainry going on outside of Gotham. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, that villain stuff only happens over there in Batman's hood. You know what I'm saying? Like, world, everything is perfectly fine. So you watch that, it's like, y'all ain't never seen no, like, you know, meta villains or nothing before. And everybody's reacting to it like they have it. And the news news is carrying on like it's very new. You know, even when they do a flash, if you flash back to Wonder Woman in the 80s, you know, the movie with her in the 80s, there's no real menacing threat there. That's outside true. Of just human. That's you true. Know, but then when you go jump all the way to Superman, then it's like Zod's here. This is the first time we've seen a villain.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a villain. We don't know how to take this.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. It's interesting how they wrote it.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, Zack Snyder was, as weird as this might sound, a lot of the inspiration that he had for the latter half came from the New 52.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So like in that's like anybody that's not really a comic book head, you know, New 52 to me was actually one of the weakest runs of comics. I'm no offense, but this is one of the weakest runs for DC. But
very few comic like storylines are actually really good.
Yeah, yeah. Like it wasn't many. So but New 52 was
only like two, like Batman and Green Lantern, because they were still continuing their storylines,
yes,
pretty much.
Yes. I mean, yeah, because they're utterly destroyed Flash by this time. And like Superman just got like some weird situation with him and Lex became a good guy. I'm not even getting that. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, Lex Luthor can never be good. Let's never do that again. it's like the Joker just becoming a good guy all of a sudden. You know, that's why I like the just a segue for people that want comic books to read. The The White Knight? Batman, yes. The White Knight. Mm-hmm. Pick that up because it shows you a Joker that's been rehabilitated. And he becomes like the mayor. You know what I'm saying? Like it is a very interesting take, and Batman ends up becoming the villain. It is a dope take for people that want to like see a different particular take. But I understand what you're saying though, Steels, as far as like they did shoot, because like Batman, Superman is normally in his late 20s when he starts. You know, he's like 27, 28-ish. You know what I'm saying? This Superman had to be at least 33, 34. At least 33, 34. Like and that's a at least 33, 34. If I'm not mistaken, I think he was that age, around that age when he actually got the suit and all the rest of the stuff started happening. But until then, he was just hiding. You know what I'm saying? Like trying to live his life, you know, and trying to figure out who he was. But I thought that, you know, I think that's a very good point to make. So that brings me to my next. Well, did you finish, Shills? I'm sorry. Will you finish, brother?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah,
I'm still. Okay. So next question, the controversial question. How'd you feel about Lex Luthor?
He's the worst cast. I would have fired whoever had them. I don't know. That's terrible.
Okay.
Like, maybe a Riddler. He comes more to me. I always say he seems more like a Riddler than a Lex Luthor, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't look at him as being the original Lex Luthor. I kind of see him being, you know, Lex Luthor Jr. I would say that the Lex Luthor that everybody probably would have been happy with would have been his father, because he kind of like talked about him a lot. And the way he talked about him for a character that didn't exist in the movie, you kind of got those vibes of being like the OG Lex Luthor that everybody wanted.
Yep.
And I can see this Lex Luthor that we got is just kind of like, I want to be like my dad, but I don't know how to be like my dad because I hate my dad. So like, I don't know. I think he got better in that little snip that we saw at the end of the Snyder Cut.
Okay.
I liked him better in that because he seemed like he finally calmed down, like he finally got some medicine, and they were like, "Hey, I'm not so Jerry." Because you remember like the what was the party, the little party that he had Clark and Bruce at?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He was very jittery. Like he was like Fry when he had to like 99 cups of coffee in Futurama.
Yeah.
He was like, everything, but it felt like he had Tourette's too, though. Because you know, like it felt like it. So then like they finally give him some medicine. He kind of calms down and he shaves his head and everything. But I don't know, like, I like Jesse Eisenberg. I just don't think he was like, it would have been a good cast for Luther. I think Bryan Cranston would have been better.
Okay.
He probably would have been a better Flash, you know, with his acting style, to be real.
About Jesse Eisenberg?
Yeah, he would probably.
He would have been a good Wally West.
A better Flash.
Yeah.
Because Lex is supposed to be menacing. Like, can you think about, like, as far as intelligence, he's like next up. He's up there, or even surpasses Batman. Like he's one of him. Like he's one of the very few humans with as high as IQ as he has.
Okay.
So you know, you don't really. And he's has a, I don't know, like Deathstroke. Like Deathstroke. That's the reason why I like Deathstroke all the time, because he's very calculating. Like he's very intelligent.
Yeah.
And so it makes him like a very good match for Batman, because Batman has that very, you know, like ass, but I'm very smart about it at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, and that Lex doesn't really come off that way. It doesn't seem like, but then it goes back to what I was saying earlier. Like that's probably one of my biggest things that kind of confused me or I didn't like about the movie. It seemed like too many of the characters' age is out of place.
Okay.
It's like we got a young Lex, which would have been fine if they would have did like a new 52 and use a very young Superman Batman.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like Barry's young, but then Batman's old. Like Batman and Superman are older, but Flash is younger and his Lex is younger.
Okay.
So it's kind of like it's odd because they're not the same. You know, normally when you see them, they kind of use the core characters are usually be the same age. So it's like Lex is older, Flash is older, you know, Wonder Woman's there. Like everybody has that maturity to them. This one, it seems like, you know, Superman's older, Batman's older, Flash is younger, Lex is younger.
Okay.
So it's kind of like throws the movie off in a certain way. It's not bad, but it just kind of throws
it. It is different. Yeah. It's especially, different, though.
Especially them using Barry Allen Flash, because I always see Barry Allen being older.
Yeah.
If they want a younger Flash, they need to do like Wally West.
There's Wally. Yep.
Nobody loves Wally, man.
Yeah. I mean, we're getting into that for Snyder Cut. We'll say that. So Matt, what you got, bro?
When it comes down to it, I didn't love or hate it. When I saw he was cast, I said to myself, Matt, just step back, because you think about Lex, think about what Lex is supposed to be, think about how Lex is supposed to act. Just step back. Don't look at it that way. Take it at face value. So I can do that. And as I was watching it, I think for what they wanted him to do, he did okay. But if I'm going to have a Lex Luthor with long hair, I mean, Triple H ain't doing nothing. You know what I mean? Like, he had long hair back then. You know, it was Hunter Hearst Helmsley. No, he wasn't doing nothing. He couldn't take on this role.
Emphasis on the Hearst.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Hearst. Put you in the Hearst body bag.
Right, bro.
Watch him give Superman a pedigree. That'd be
funny. Oh, man. Well, he did that in Blade Trinity, and he pedigreed that sucker out of existence. So,
I was like, man, just okay. Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah, you know, Triple H got to be Steel. You got to stand for him.
and see how he did Booker T. Apparently, he more black than Booker T. I don't know, you know.
No, you did not just say that.
That's a whole other conversation. A whole other combo for another day. Threw a dollar at the man and told him to get me a towel, and he never paid for that disrespect. So yeah, like I'm like just saying, but
that's in the reign of terror, man.
Yeah, we're not gonna deal with that. So I actually quite enjoyed Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor. Reasons. I can't name 5 billionaires that are under the age of 50. I can't name 5 billionaires that are over the age of 50 that I can actually just list out off the top of the dome. Maybe Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, and Bezos. Right? Those are the only ones I can think of. But when you talk about young billionaires, we got a long list, man. You know what I'm saying? So I thought about, I thought processed that. I was like, okay, so we're in 21st century. Once again, I keep relating this thing to the 21st century, because the old school businessman Lex Luthor, we got that with Superman Returns, and I hated that movie. The Kevin Spacey did all right, but now I can't watch that because Kevin Spacey is Lex Luthor. So it's like got conflicting situations happening there. So man rape man. I can't really vibe with that. I'm like, nah, I'm okay. I can blacklist this whole movie from existence now. But but as far as like the Jesse Eisenberg version of Lex Luthor, I thought about a couple of things. One, he dealt with the problem that our generation has dealt with. Whether or not God is all powerful or whether or not he's weak. I thought that was a dope thing because he was an abused child by his powerful daddy. Two, he's the smartest man on the planet, literally. Like in this universe, he's the smartest man on Earth, which is what he normally is in the DC universe as well. It's like him, Adam, and what's your boy name? I forget the other dude's name. But yeah, like normally it's him and Adam is normally battling at the top to be like the smartest people in DC. So just process this in your intelligence. You supposed to be the one to save the world. That was Lex's conundrum. That's why he was stumbling over his words. Because if you remember what he quoted when he was there, he talked about the oxymoron of like having power without knowledge. And the fact that knowledge is supposed to be power, but it didn't give him power. And remember, he already knew that the two men in a room were Batman and Superman. Mm-hmm. He knew that at the time. He knew that since the beginning of the movie. The whole movie is themed around him knowing that Clark Kent is Superman, Bruce Wayne is Batman, that Clark Kent is in a relationship with Lois Lane because he knew exactly what to do. He knew all these things. So he's finally got the two people he's been trying to get to kill each other in the same room with him. And he's talking to them about power. And he's like, it's a goddamn oxymoron. This is paradoxical because I'm looking at the man that can literally lift a building. He's sitting in front of me and he's left the stage. Because he's like, I just want to get this thing done. So he wants to disprove that Superman is Superman because he wants to feel powerful again, because the existence of Superman threatens his power, which is actually age old problem with Lex Luthor. Lex Luthor would probably have not been as bad if Superman did not exist. Because a world would have relied on Lex Luthor to actually solve the problems.
Right.
Because he had the mind and the ability to make it work in the best way he could as a human. But the moment you interject a Superman into the story, your intelligence means nothing. So your value means nothing. So if you can't be intelligent and save the world, then why don't I make the one who's saving the world bow to me? Now, his jitteriness and all the rest of that stuff, I'm like, look, if you watch a video with Zuckerberg, you watch a video with Darcy, and the rest of these, well, Jack Dorsey and the rest of you watched it. It's the exact same mannerisms. Elon Musk, exact same mannerisms. The matter of fact, Tony Stark went and sat with Elon Musk to learn how to be Tony Stark. If you didn't know that, that's fact. John Favreau said, we need to sit him down with Elon Musk. And Elon Musk, absolutely. He said, let the dude stay with him for a month. And he got all the mannerisms of Elon Musk down, the quirkiness, the awkwardness and stuff like that. The old sayings, how he's the smartest person in the room and doing this stuff, but he does his own way. He took all that stuff, Elon Musk, and made that into the character for Tony Stark, but it's still RDJ on top. But he had Elon Musk kind of in a vein. So in this particular situation, you got Lex Luthor that literally is sitting there looking at you. He reminds me of the classical Lex Luthor, the first Lex Luthor, the one with red hair that most people forget about for some reason. They forget that Lex Luthor wasn't bald until like the 70s. You know, he had long flowing red hair. He was a mad scientist. He gave the definition to a mad scientist. Because his whole idea, and even back then, was to disprove that Superman could not be beat. He's like, I can beat this sucker with my mind. I can just do it. Just give me more time. So he was very jittery. You can go back and look them joints up. You know what I'm saying? Look them old comic books up. This sucker was real jittery. So I'm watching it. I'm like, this is a throwback. People are like, this ain't Lex Luthor. I'm like, this is a throwback Lex Luthor. This is like Lex version one, the one that y'all don't know about. Y'all used to Justice League's Timverse. You know, you're used to Timbers Lex Luthor, which is like what's it called, Clancy? Dude who voiced Mr. Krabs? That's who y'all used to. Y'all used to that version.
Always bald.
Yeah, always bald. You know what I'm saying? Then you also got folk that grew up with Superman. You know what I'm saying? Then you got the Christopher Reeve Superman movies where he had hair and then they shaved him bald.
And like, well, I thought it was a toupee.
Was it
in Christopher? Yeah, it was toupee in the Christopher Reeve movies.
For the first movie, it was toupee.
I'm pretty sure it was. I want to say it was a toupee. Like it was like he was faking it. Like
okay, cool. So he was bald in the Christopher Reeve movies. That was like late 70s, which is around the time they changed it. So we didn't have a businessman Lex Luthor until like the late 70s. That was when people, the hippie movement, you know, say it was against corporate greed. So they ended up making Lex into the businessman. But before that, he was actually just a scientist. He was a scientist that was just tired of Superman.
It's funny because what I was saying, like, it's funny. That's why I was saying earlier with the movies, not bad. It's just like, it's very odd because he took so many pieces from so many different places.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like when I have a conversation about Batman a lot of times, it's like I'll tell people, I said, most of y'all are just more familiar with, like what I call Detective Batman.
Yeah.
I said, y'all not really accustomed to Justice League Batman. Mm-mm. I said, that's why it seems that way to y'all. I said, because Justice League Batman, you know, functions very differently. You know, he's around so many different other people.
Yep.
It's different, you know, the same with Superman, you know, and just building on what you're saying, how, you know, that's true. I didn't let Luther act more like the old school Luther, like the very, very old school Luther.
Yeah. It's like the first version, like literally the first version of Luther was like, so before the Joker, there was Lex Luthor. So you had to deal with the fact that this dude had Joker tendencies when he started. Very frantic, maniacal, you know what I'm saying, conniving, always trying to find a way to get under the skin of a Superman, always trying to find a way to thwart him in that particular sense. Then we got the Joker, and then after that, they kind of ease off of that tension with Lex Luthor because the Joker was more of that maniacal, weird type of thing. So I just throw it on Joker. But at the end of the day, whenever I processed Jesse, I was like, this dude reminds me of a billionaire from the 21st century. So in the next like 15, 20 years, like billionaire will probably look completely different, and then they'll have to change it again. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It can't just be the 1970 version of Lex Luthor all the time. Like I said, Superman Returns tried and it failed miserably because they gave us this quirky 1940s version of a city with a Lex Luthor in it, and it just didn't work. And that doesn't mean that the Baldwin couldn't work. I'm not saying that because I think that they could have still done something with that and it would have been fine. But I like the fact that he was like, let me just relate this a little bit closer. Like he combined the media and a young billionaire as a doggone villain to make this thing like literally relative to the 21st century. It's like, no, this is the billionaires that you know. You know Mark Zuckerberg. You know he's like got a, like even the way that the Lex Court was set up. When you walked in, there was a basketball court and stuff like that. That's Google. That's Facebook. That's the corporation. That's how they look. They were in there. That's what they did it at. That's how it actually looks. They have canvases. where people just get to live free. I was like, what can I get this job? And I was like, just going there. And I was like, I need to blow off some steam and literally just blow off some steam. You know what I'm saying? And like I'm gonna go over here and shoot some hoops. I'm gonna go over here and do this and they got a shower for me and clothes. I can just go back in and go back to work. That they actually used that as a jump off to like show you that he was hip. He's weird, but he was hip. And he was doing everything he could to be that person that he wanted to be until Superman. And he's like, I can't be that. And that's a problem. You a problem because you contradict who I am. And now you need to die. So like that's pretty what, that's at least my take. That's my take on it. And I appreciate the fact that he actually tried that. And then they gave us the bald head Lex at the end of the movie, which I don't even think they even had to do, to be honest, which I would have preferred him keep his hair. I'm just being real. Like that's, I mean, I would have played on the Alexander Jr. situation, because Alexander Jr. always had his hair pulled back in the comic books. So I was like, I would have played on that. And that would have been fine. But they were, the conundrum was they weren't differentiating between him being Lex Jr. or just Lex. So I agree with you when you said that, Matt, because like Matt and Ed, both of y'all touched on that. But it was this situation where like, I don't know if he, well, no, Steel said it too. All of us said, but all y'all just can't say this. But I said, like, we don't know which one he is. You know what I'm saying? Like if we knew that, it would have turned out better on that particular side. So now Batman killing, talk to me. So how you feel about Batman murderizing people in this movie?
I'm all for it.
Man, bro, I can't express to you how happy I was to see Batman murder sucker. I don't even, I can't. Yeah, go
I'm
ahead.
Kinda, I'm used to it with the Tim Burton Batman.
Okay.
He killed every single one of his villains in this movie, except for the Riddler and, Batman and Robin's good camp fun.
Well, he killed Two-Face, though. They killed Two-Face in Batman Forever. Mm-hmm. Batman Returns, Penguin died, and they almost killed. Well, they killed Max Lord. I'm not Max Lord's name. What's his name? Steel. I forget the dude's name. Dang it. He was played by Christopher Walken. That dude died a horrible death. I mean,
Catwoman.
But Batman didn't stop him. So it was
Batman's
like,
just kind of like, he's just kind of just standing there like,
he's like, oh, she scratched my face. Oh my goodness, the pain. You know,
I look at it more as like, oh, she scratched my face.
Oh. Yeah, you know, so he's like, oh man, she scratched my face. Oh, the pain, baby, do it. Oh, she's over the curtain, dude. Now, oh wow. Oh, the dude is smoking. Oh my goodness.
Oh, God, he's a skeleton.
Oh my goodness. You know, I had to, because this one's going to be a free for all, because I just want to throw this out there, because I can't stand people saying, well, Batman is a kill. Sucker, have you watched any of these movies? 89 Batman, Michael Keaton. That sucker tied the Joker's leg to a gargoyle and let him fall off a 50-story building.
And watched him. as soon as he went down behind him, he just kind of like follows him down and watches him.
And you know what's, man, you know, so bad, if you go back and watch that now, that is a menacing scene, because literally we had to watch the Joker die. He was holding on for dear life and he just kept slipping. And I'm like, y'all just gonna let us live through this whole thing?
Everybody complains about the Batmobile and Batman V Superman having like Gatling guns on it, but they were in
Batman 89 and Batman Returns. They made a whole point to murk suckers that touched his car. He set them on fire.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about, though. Like, if I'm Batman, I'm like, y'all see what we fighting?
I mean,
you know what I'm saying? Like, this is why I went and got Diana and Flash. Like, I'm fighting for my life out here. Like, this thing,
Man, my favorite old guy. Like whenever he was doing the Doomsday fight happens and he just like ducks for cover.
Hey, all right, so real talk here.
All right, throw it in there.
We worry about Batman, you know, killing people, but we never worried about him maiming people for life.
Okay, facts. So this is a shout out to our boy CJ with Villains of Vinyl. Check him out. They on Apple Podcasts. So he hates Batman, but he brings up very good points about like the killing part, right? he said this in a podcast, a past podcast we did. It was called Ripper Hero, and he chose the bat, and he RIP Batman. I was like, oh my God, he changed my perception on like actually having Batman as my favorite hero. He's no longer my favorite hero because of this dude. He said, so you telling me that the Batman floats down on minority citizens in the heat of night. Well, in the cold of night, because it's Gotham. It's cold. So he beats the brace, every bone in your body at 3 a.m. in the morning. And he leaves you there. And he said, I didn't kill him. But he leaves you there. And nobody knows you're there.
All I'm saying is.
Riddle me this. Does this man live?
two things I want y'all to realize. One, how he breaks that bones, it just ain't gonna never heal right. Your kneecap, you're gonna be walking with a limp forever if you survive the other 19 injuries he's inflicted.
How's he ever gonna reform? He can't get a stable job now. He's gonna have to go back and steal again. He's gonna go back on the streets again.
Working a block with crutches on.
19 is the 1990 right. Steven Seagal. That's the only person with the same destructive abilities as Batman.
Or Arnold Schwarzenegger from Commando.
Yeah. Oh my God,
Commando! Put his A ball in his sock.
This is you know,
I will add this to this though.
What's up
about Batman? And one thing I always when I talk to people about him is that's why I wanted him to always fight Deathstroke in a movie.
Yes.
If you watch most of all his movies, they never do him justice of how well Batman can fight.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you watch him, it's just more like his batarang, his tricks, mm-hmm. in the movies at least. Mm-hmm. But you never really, if you watch the cartoons and stuff now, he's getting down. You know, especially I like the one where him and Shredder fight each other for
that's a good movie.
Gangster. Yeah, it's good.
Right.
Such good callbacks, like the OG Turtle movie too.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't really see that. Even when you watch the new movies, he's not really like, you know, he's been trained, but you don't see it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, so he relies more. He's like basically he's like a martial artist.
Yep.
So you think he's out there doing kung fu and stuff, but you never really ever see it though. But yep. That's why I always wanted him to fight Deathstroke, because I said, okay, that'll bring that missing element that we don't get from Batman. How smart he is, but on top of how dangerous he really is.
That sucker is dangerous.
They make him more of a brawler. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he's a fighter. Like, no, like Batman's a killing machine.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm saying,
like the only person that, you know, his fighting ability is up there. Like, I remember there's a comic where he's Superman asked who would win a fight between me or Diana. And then Batman was telling him, like, with Diana, like, she's a trained killer.
Yeah.
Like, you know, saying Batman is a trained killer. Now, really or not, he kills you.
Yeah.
It's two different things. But his fighting ability is probably one of the tightest in all the DC universe for the humans.
Yeah. I mean, where is the tightest? You know what I'm saying? Like, it is. Like, it's like him versus Deathstroke, he's won. You know what I'm saying? In the comic books, you know, like that. He's won those fights. Like, because he knows how to go there. B, because he's doggone intelligent. He's like, I know a couple ways I can knock you off without having to kill you, but it's going to take more work. You know, so he always found way. He like changed his gauntlets. You know, like, because I remember the swords that Slade Wilson had at one point in time could actually damage his gauntlets. And he had to change his gauntlets because he was like, I can't fight this dude unless I got something that's going to withstand the weapons that he got. And he could literally just cut through throw the gauntlets. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. If you can cut through stuff with these gauntlets, you telling me you can't just roll this across the dude's neck and he gone? The Batman's whole suit can murder a man just by him rubbing against a dude. You know, so if you wanted to, you know, he's like, oh, you know what? Today is a bad day. I'm just gonna do this to you, and you go. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like he can do that any day of the week. You know what I'm saying? And I think that part is the part that always bothered me about like the way that the 80s and the 90s did the Batman. Like when we were kids, you know, we didn't really get it. You know what I'm saying? And Bruce Timm, to his credit.
It's just toy commercials.
Yeah, yeah. Bruce Timm, to his credit, man. That dude made one of the dopest American cartoons, period, bar none. Like he did a continuation series of Batman anime, but Batman anime series, Superman anime series, Justice League Unlimited. You know what I'm saying? And then Batman Beyond. He got here in Static Shop. He had all them suckers under his umbrella. And we ain't gonna talk about that Zeno thing, the Zeto. That was trash. I don't know why they tried that out. That was utter garbage. But yeah, but the other ones, they are just a succinct story from beginning to end. And because of that, because we got we got Kevin Conroy, you know, like the beat of voice of Batman, Mark Hamill, voice of Joker, you know what I'm saying? Clancy, the voice of Lex Luthor. We got such dynamic characters that it's hard to not think about them when you think about the characters.
Yes. If you're reading the comics, those voices are always in my head.
In your head. Yeah. I mean, in the video games, they just translate over. They're like, well, Hamill, come on back here and do the Joker. And yeah, Conroy, come on.
A couple mil.
Yeah. Just come on.
I will say about the video games, though, I am very disappointed with Arkham Knight with the whole Deathstroke fight, how it's just literally a tank in his vehicle.
Yes.
I mean, come on now.
So we talked about that in a couple of episodes.
Come on now.
Sean from Champion Material. Shout out to Sean. We love it, man. But he's a fan of Arkham Knight. And me and CJ just wasn't having it.
You got the best looking Batman game.
Yeah.
It's America's fault, man. It's America's infatuation with the Joker.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It's hard for them to be able to put a Batman movie out without everybody's wanting the Joker in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that, you know, that limits, that's kind of going back. I was saying the me is always your story can be no better than your villain.
Yes.
Like your villain is going, that's why, when you pull out certain villains, okay, now we're going to see Superman. Now you're going to see Batman, you know what I'm saying? But if you keep Batman locked, and it's not saying I don't like the Joker, because I do. I like the Joker.
Yeah.
But if he's always fighting the Joker, then you never really get to see true Batman.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? You never get to see what he can do.
Yep.
You know, that was one of my biggest with Wonder Woman fighting Cheetah. I get it. I like Cheetah in the Woman universe. I'm man, she just fought Ares.
Yeah, facts. She literally just fought Ares. It was an ignorant fight. I mean, that fight was belligerent. I was like, this sucker literally changed reality to show her what could have been. While she's holding the doggone lasso of truth, you gotta let that sink into your brain. He surpasses the power of the lasso. That right there, that's a standard you gotta reach. You gotta go up high. And Ares, as we now know from Zack Snyder's Justice League, cut Darkseid. So that's a problem with the power scaling when it comes to that's at least for me. That was a problem then, because it's did y'all talk? Patty, did you talk to Zach about this? did you talk? She ain't talking this song about nothing. I'm making my
I can just see her whole thing. I just thought the gold armor was cool.
Yeah, pretty much.
She didn't even take the gold armor out for
Ares. For Steppenwolf,
Dark Side. But she takes it out for Cheetah?
It don't make no sense.
Legendary armor. The legendary armor for Cheetah.
For Cheetah. For Christian. For Christian Wiig, we gonna bust out the armor. I'm gonna step in my nice shoe.
it might be an envious thing, because she kind of showed off on her right there in front of
her man. That's what happened.
Oh no, I gotta fix this. Let me get my good shoes.
I said, you ain't gonna be flexing me. You ain't gonna flex no me. And ain't got my best on. Get that. I'm gonna go back in here and figure this out. So I'm gonna ask you guys a question, and this is just because I was looking through. After I watched Snyder Cut a couple times, mind you, but I went back and watched BVS again for one fight. The best comic book fight in all comic book movies, to me, was Batman versus them dudes trying to save Martha.
Oh yes,
I've not seen a comic book fight done that well in Marvel. They ain't got one. It's normally camera blurs and CGI. This was a fight, and I was like, this is the Batman. I remember that was when I was like, I don't care what y'all got to say about Ben. That's my Batman. The fact that we got blessed with this scene, you know what I'm saying? Like as a comic book fan, this was torn out of a panel, the Batman versus eight dudes. And you're thinking like, oh, he's a regular, he's Batman. You know, he's going, no, he's older. You know what I'm saying? So he's good now. He's great at what he does, but he's older. And he got some deficiencies. But his rage, though. His rage. When he was going, dude stabbed him. And I was like, oh, brother, what in the world did you just do? And he just put doing his on the doggone thing, just took the thing out and stabbed the dude. I'm like, yes. I'm like, yes. I'm like that. That's what you, I mean, I was like, that is the bat. Like that's the bat that people are literally afraid to go out at night when they think about doing something ignorant. They're like, nah, bro, I ain't going out. that's the dude not that dude that just be grappling people and hanging them on top and swear to me, not that dude.
Just his aesthetics and everything too. Like he looked like that. He was intimidating. Yeah, he had the muscle build and everything. Thing like that. Christian Bale is just too small.
Okay, first off, Christian Bale ain't got a chin. Second off, Christian Bale ain't got a voice. Third off, Christian Bale never convinced me he was the Batman. Movie was good around him. Mm-hmm. But he was a good Bruce Wayne.
I think he was a good Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, it's subjective.
but I do have some quarrels with that trilogy. I do not like his whole like do or die with Rachel. Like as soon as she dies, yeah, like I'm done. I don't want to be Batman.
No well, not even that, man. Like he murderized. You know, he murderized more than any Batman. Oh, yeah. Everybody give him a pass. I'm like, no, sucker. Go back to the first movie. He murdered half the people in the League of Assassins mm-hmm. when he threw that doggone thing into the. He was okay with it. These people even.
He will go to kill that one guy though.
Yeah, like
that one guy.
That one guy. He won't kill him. But you're gonna murder everybody else in the League of Assassins,
including Ra's al Ghul at the time.
Yeah, including Ra's al Ghul. He was fine with that. He was like, "Oh, this dude then trained me out of Pablo's mind and brought me out of the depths of my soul." But catch these hands and this fire.
He killed Ra's al Ghul and then he killed Ra's al Ghul again.
Yeah, he killed him. He killed the dude twice, and he killed half the dog on League of Assassins because all the suckers that was there was probably like 16 or 5 or 6 of the dudes that was left. You know what I'm saying? So you got bad, like first Batman movie, he's murdered at least by like 80-90 people, right? Mm-hmm. And if you include him like letting the train just crash into a building to kill Ra's al Ghul, we don't know who was in that building. You remember that old dude that was talking like this belt that's gotta explode? He was still in the building.
There's no telling what happens.
they're like Joker made it into a joke in Dark Knight. He said, you know what? And you don't disappoint. You let 3 people die. You know, he was doing a tally for him. He's like, you should let people die. And I love you for that. He was like, that was the whole point. So what would I do without you? He said, dude, you complete me because I'm over here like I could kill this person. I just want to see if he pop. He don't pop. I'll kill another person then. You don't pop again? I'll kill some more people. He was on a murder spree, and all that's on the bat because the bat didn't handle Joker. Then we get the Dark Knight Rises,
yeah,
with Bane because he went out of practice. How many people died because of him going out of practice?
Oh yeah, God. Mm.
So we got a couple thousand people now that the Batman from the Nolan trilogy killed, but because the Batman and Batman v Superman roll over a couple suckers that deserve it. He probably killed a maximum of like 15 people in that movie. That's what I'm saying. Like that, yeah. I was counting.
That's probably
was like,
pushing that, too. Though.
Yeah, that's pretty. It was 2 people in that car that he rolled over.
And maybe 2 people in the back of the trailer whenever
he set that sucker on fire because he deserved it. He held a dog on flamethrower towards an old lady because he was told to do it. You think I'm going to let this sucker live? No. Homo talking about.
Y'all read that? Oh God, what's that? And it came about 7-8 months ago. There was a comic about 7-8 months. Deceased.
Yes.
DC.
Yeah, DC.
That builds in what you were saying. Like, you know, the dark side gets the anti-life equation.
Yeah.
Basically starts turning everybody to zombies. There's a part of it where they go to Black Adam's country mm-hmm. to see how he contained it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, I did what y'all couldn't do. He said, basically, everybody who had it, I killed them.
Yep.
Okay, I killed them. And they was looking at him like, well, how could you? But he said, well, if you think about it, I'm the hero and you're the villain. He said, yep. Because while you're walking around and your city's contemplating who to save, those people who are infected are killing more people.
Yes. Yep. And see, that's always been my problem with the way they wrote Batman and Joker. You know, I said the fact that he just couldn't kill the Joker. You know, even like the as iconic as Heath Ledger's portrayal is, he did nothing wrong. I'm just gonna be just make sure that statement is made. Heath Ledger did nothing wrong with the Joker. That sucker killed it. He tore that role up. But the interpretation of Bale's Batman versus him, I hate it. Because I'm sitting up here like, this sucker literally had bombs on boats, had a contingency plan to blow people up if they didn't do what he wanted. And I'm just going, you just going to shoot this, just hit him in the arm? That's it? That's all we getting out of you today? that's it. We you know, we're going to be destined to do this forever. No, we ain't.
And he killed Harvey. Me too.
Yeah. Well, Batman tackled that sucker off the side of
him. And landed on him, didn't he?
Yeah. What'd you say, bro? He landed on him. Yeah.
That's the only reason why he survived.
Harvey broke his fall. So now we go to Batman v Superman. Batman. He don't seem that bad to me. Honestly, he was in pain. He had lost his humanity.
Yeah, he lost his Robin.
You know what I'm saying? I was like, this dude literally got murked because of me. And then Snyder Cut just, oh my goodness, that Joker Batman talk at the end of the movie in the epilogue. Ooh, goodness. Yes. Oh, that was gracious. Yeah. Oh goodness.
That's Love good that. Quality stuff.
That was the best on screen Joker Batman conversation I've ever seen. Like screw the weird confrontation yeah. with Mucus Bale, Mucus Man, version of Batman, you know, Allergy Man, I should just call him. Allergy Man and Joker was sitting in a room together talking, you know what I'm saying?
No, man.
That joint, that dude, I mean, I could have put Daffy Duck in that room and nobody would have told a doggone difference. I was like,
you can at least understand Daffy Duck.
Yeah, yes. You know what I'm saying? Like the dude's where the house is.
One of my favorite things was when that movie first dropped was like, they always, people were like doing the misinterpretations of what Batman said. And one of the things was like after he tells like their address for like Rachel and Harvey and everything, and Jim's like, he's like, where are you going? He's like, get a bagel. So everybody's like, it's not like he's getting a bagel.
I was like,
but it's not who I am underneath. It's what I do that defines me.
And I was like, homie, you sound like you need nasal spray right now. Like you sound like you're in need of some, you need that extra strength. You know what I'm saying? You need that Zyrtec plus right now. You know what I'm saying?
I love Michael Keaton's like Batman voice because he kind of had like that real like whisper, like kind of like assertive whisper where it's kind of like, it was intimidating. But he didn't have to raise his voice to like scare the people.
And he also had dual voicing. He was so on the rail, nobody ain't touching Keaton. You know what I'm saying? Like nobody's second cheek. Keaton's the apex of a movie Batman because like he was actually able to do both. And if you had just walked into a movie and you didn't know that Keaton was the bad, you wouldn't have known until they showed you because his voice is completely different. His mannerisms were completely different. You know, so that was my beef with Bale's version. Bale's version to me seemed like the same dude. You know, yeah. So I was saying, no offense, y'all. I said, but just because you act goofy because you got money and you like, but like you still the same dude. You know what I'm saying? Like Ben Affleck's version of me felt like a more authentic version of Bruce Wayne because he was like more of a schmo. You know, he was just like smug. He's like, man, I thought this was the bathroom, man. My bad. You know what I'm saying? I said, that seemed like something Bruce Wayne do, get drunk and then like be like, yo, I forgot where I was supposed to be at. You know what I'm saying? Not just buying stuff because he's gonna buy it. I said, that would raise red flags. I'm like, okay, all right, you done walked into this place, why you keep buying stuff? Which was funny because that's what happened in Dark Knight Rises. Because I think Nolan probably called himself. He's like, okay, look, you can't just be buying stuff. And he picked at himself in Dark Knight too. Because like the dude popped up, he was like, okay, look, you trying to tell me y'all didn't see y'all baby riding in the street? You know what I'm saying? Like from off of R&D. And I was like, that was my beef. I'm like, you can't be sitting up here acting like nobody don't know you spending money.
Like all the tech literally came from like
it's Wayne tech.
Cancel R&D project, all of it. Like,
yeah, I was like, if you ain't know this dude ain't Batman by now, you're an idiot in the city.
How many investors I had seen their eyes on all that tech because all of it was like literally they said the bodysuit that he wore in Batman Begins was cost too much for a human life.
Yes.
How many people had eyes on that? They know what it looks like. They know what it is. I mean, just because you spray paint it black don't mean that it's different. Same thing with the Tumblr.
Yeah,
trick him in there. Bruce is like, man, y'all see how many women I can fit in this Lamborghini? Don't worry about this suit, man. It's like five of them in existence.
It's like, oh hey, you know what? I don't like the swimming pool rules in this hotel. Oh, I'm gonna buy this hotel. Yeah, I'm not Batman.
I'm not Batman. Oh,
and then what was it? Was it Dark Knight? The Dark Knight. Whenever he leaves the yacht with all the supermodels, and it's like that was his, you know, alibi as Bruce Wayne. Oh, he's out taking his little.
But he dove off of a boat.
That's what I'm saying. But how many of those supermodels was watching him get off, swim to the plane, and then fly off, and none of them go. Where's Bruce?
Why is Bruce flying off at the same? Okay, so
and
oh, yeah,
like, can't hold and none of them have phones.
Look, I mean, Matt,
you're a drunk.
Yeah, like Matt, you're right though.
I like that. That's it.
Matt, you were right though. You said that like that. If it was IG models, that's not going to have been caught. If it was IG models he had on that doggone, they would have been taking pictures of him diving into the water. No, where's Bruce going?
Hey, we been Batman.
It's like later on, they try to say, what was your alibi during that time, Bruce? Well, I was with these models. Well, not according to Instagram Live, you weren't.
Like on Instagram, it looked like you left the moment you got there. So where were you at, Bruce?
2 weeks later, he's facing a lawsuit about inappropriate sexual acts. the alleged rape allegation.
Commandeering an entire ballerina school just to have an alibi but didn't have an alibi. Yeah, Bruce, excellent work. You're a very smart man.
I would love.
Go ahead.
If they took that scenario and they got Alfred, his like sass that he had, because he had more sass than I would say Michael Caine. Michael Caine was great.
Yeah,
but like I love Michael Caine.
Yeah,
but. What's his name? Irons. Jeremy Irons.
Jeremy Irons. Yeah.
His sass.
Yeah.
Was just perfect. I just love the scene. His answer to Bruce, if he said, "I want to take all these ballerinas with me so I can have an alibi." I just want to know what he would have said.
Yes, he would probably say, "Very, very smart choice, Master Wayne. Buy out the world's most premier ballerinas, and nobody would ever think that nothing would be going on." He would probably say something like, "Cause it's like it doesn't make sense. It doesn't." Everybody praising Christopher Nolan's version. And I was like, I'm sorry, y'all. This thing falls apart when you stack it up logic, like most of his movies. Sorry, Tenet included. His movies to me are logically inconsistent. I'm like, okay, so you tell me that nobody in this room saw Bruce Wayne. Matter of fact, you remember oh my goodness. See, this is off the rails now, but it's okay. You remember in Dark Knight. When there was two people fooling around when all this stuff was happening with the Joker, and they saw Bruce Wayne open up a secret door in a room,
they thought
it was a panic room, and then all of a sudden Batman pops out. Okay, I mean, like, I don't have to be the sharpest knife in the drawer. I don't have to be able to ascertain that something ain't right. That this man has got to have something to do with the bat because it's.
And then the whole thing, him going after Rachel too, like, and Harvey Dent's in the room there, like that pretty much just it takes away Harvey being Batman, like him stepping up saying I'm Batman, but Harvey was right there in the same room with all those people when Batman shows up.
We have established this is a Christopher Nolan movie, right? And so this gave him the idea of Tenet before Tenet was even thought of. Because I'm 5 minutes in the future, but I'm 10 minutes in the past, but I'm right here, right now. But I ain't here. I'm somewhere else. And you can find me in Europe. I'm on a boat now with guns. Everybody did. I wrote down Tenet in like 2 seconds, man.
That pretty much is Tenet.
I love Christopher Nolan. I like his movies. They're fun movies. But they're not like the intelligent movies that like so many people were trying to like claim they were back in the day.
It's like Rick and Morty fans, man. Like the show is not that intelligent. But the fact that you feel that it makes you intelligent shows you that you're not really intelligent. You know what I'm saying? So like, and that's what I'm like, that's a situation. I'm like, Nolan to me is on equal level with Zack Snyder. People gonna be like, oh, I'm like, I'm sorry. Yeah. Zack Snyder at least gave me consistency. At least with Superman, I knew that he wasn't really Superman yet. I get that. Batman, we saw him go from a monster to a human. Now, here comes another controversial question for the bat. The Martha scene. You know, so which is the most hated scene in that movie was the Martha scene where homeboy's like, how do you know that name? And he start like literally spazzing out, like, how do you know that name? Mm-hmm. And somebody pointed out and said it like really, really simply, like it was somebody like just beefing with it on Twitter, and I was cracking up, but he just wrecked him. He was like, all right, look, bro. He said, look, man, Superman is Superman, right? Batman doesn't know Superman is Clark Kent yet. He had to call him Martha. And everybody was like, huh? Like, he had to call him Martha. It's his mama. We know that. Who told him that who told Batman that was his mama? Who broke the character? It was Lois.
Mm-hmm.
That's his mama. And that's when Batman broke. Because he's like, why in the world? Because he probably thought to himself, this dude's psychologically trying to get to me. Because he how in the world?
But he's an alien. Name? He's reading.
He's like, how you know this name? How do you know this name? You know, so he got the freaking spear in his hand. He's gonna stab this. You know what I'm saying? So he's like, I bet you in an alternate universe, if she wasn't there, Superman be dead. He'd murk that dude still. He's like, well, how dare you use my mama name? Because he's like, it's like if you were in a fight. And somebody called out your mama name. The disbelief hit you first. You're just like, this sucker. You know what I'm saying? Like, this dude actually went there. You know what I'm saying? Like, have you ever gotten that anger before where you actually start talking in the third person? He's like, did that dude really just say that to me? You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, he's just gonna talk to Trevor any type of way. And I'm Trevor. You know what I'm saying? Like, you so angry, you like Batman had that moment. He was like, yo, how you know my mama name? You know, he couldn't say it was mama. But he was like, how you know that name? And he's like, save Martha. And almost like, how you know that doggone name, bro? I'm about to put the spin in your behind. You know,
he's like, just like the Pulp Fiction scene. Say what again? Say Martha again.
Say Martha again. Say it again.
I dare you.
You know what I'm saying? But think about that draw though. You know, so he was saying to him, he's like, look, I can't say that's my mama. Just protect her. You know what I'm saying? So, and I understood why people hated it. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I want commentary. Talk to me. Like, what did you guys think about that?
I'll let somebody else go first.
Oh, no, man. To me, it wasn't as bad as people made it out to be. Because I guess they tried to play on the fact that both of their mother's names was Martha.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, that's what I'm saying. It didn't bother me personally.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to, I guess, find a controversy in it or the fact that everybody was so bent out of shape.
Yeah.
Like just okay, but I mean, if y'all know y'all's movie and comic history, then you already know it. No, I'm saying y'all already know what it is. So calm down.
Yeah,
just relax and enjoy the movie, man. Like take it for what it is.
Yeah,
okay, I'll go now. I think.
Wait, hi, Ed.
What is that, bro?
Oh, I'm telling y'all brothers about investing your money wisely. You know what I'm saying? AT&T, you buy their stocks pretty cheap right now. They got good dividends. All right. So back to Martha. Topic of
discussion. Back to Martha.
It kind of is what it is. It's a shoehorn thing. I think maybe in the grand scheme of things, you know, when he was like making this movie or writing the script, he was like, all right, this will be a nice little thread that connects everything together that people are going to catch like, oh my God, I can't believe they did that. But it kind of fell flat. You know, like Mitchell was saying, it kind of was what it was for me. It wasn't like this big deal. It didn't make me hate the movie. I didn't even think it was stupid. I just think that was them just overthinking it, you know, overthinking it, trying to tie it all together.
Mm. Yeah, that's fair.
Done, Matt?
Yeah.
Huh?
You done, Matt?
Well, you know, now I'm going to my... I'll tell y'all this. You know, invest your money cold, wisely.
Cold
don't
blood.
Buy a dog. You know, don't buy a dog. Dogs cost money. I got a dog right now. It's over eat everything. He be barking first thing in the morning, 6 a.m. That's all I hear. I'm like, shut up. Go back to sleep. Go back to sleep.
I think the whole scene, like, he intended it because, you know, he was wanting the whole Martha. He wanted that to be like a big point because he made a point at the beginning whenever we saw Batman's parents die again.
Yep.
You know, the last words his father said was Martha.
Martha. Yep.
So that was kind of already like, so the fact that that happened, it wasn't going to be a surprise. Like, it was kind of like, it was seeded from
the beginning. Splatherheads. Yeah.
And then when he had his little weird kind of like dream sequence, he mm-hmm. went to his mother's grave where he saw Martha on the tombstone.
Yep.
So it was going to be natural that it was going to come up to that point as Martha. Now, the fact their names were similar, that's just something that, you know, apparently DC just didn't have good naming back in the day. That's between them. Maybe everybody's name, mother's name was Martha back then. Who knows?
Hey, May and Martha, but
I feel like the controversy that came from it, that like so many people hate it, I think that they were at a point now, they were just nitpicking. They were trying to find something to say. That was stupid. That they were trying to find that.
Yeah.
I had no issue with it.
Same. Yeah. Anybody else?
Well, I didn't have an issue with it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I just thought it was very interesting that, like, cause, you know, because I started with Ultimate Cut. So I didn't see the theater. I will never watch the theatrical cut. You know what I'm saying? So I never really got tainted by the theatrical cut. You know what I'm saying? So I really didn't have a problem. I was like, I understand what he's trying to do right now. Like, that's his mama. He watched his mama and daddy die. His last words his daddy said was Martha. You know what I'm saying? And then, like, the fact that what brought him back to humanity was watching an alien fighting for a human mama. You know what I'm saying? Like that he's like, then the monster that he was trying to kill was actually not even a monster. He the monster. You know what I'm saying? And it broke him out of his stupor. It gave Batman hope again, which is what Superman is about. Superman is supposed to be giving people hope.